Hang a glay. You canna cross an A-King, and this one's a hag. She think Jenny and no one had ever done that before. Aye, I didn't think of that.
Both of the tiny men put the eggs back very carefully. One of them even breathed on a shell of his and made a show of polishing it with the ragged hem of his kilt.
No harm done, mistress, he said.
He looked at the other man, and then they vanished. But there was a suspicion of a red blur in the air, and some straw by the henhouse door flew up in the air.
And I'm a miss,
shouted Tiffany. She lowered the hen back onto the eggs and went to the door.
And I'm not a hag. Are you fairies of some sort? And what about our ship? I mean sheep, she added.
There was no answer but a clanking of buckets near the house, which meant that other people were getting up. She rescued the fairy tales, blew out the candle, and made her way into the house. Her mother was lighting the fire and asked what she was doing up, and she said that she'd heard a commotion in the hen house and had gone out to see if it was the fox again. That wasn't a lie. In fact, it was completely true, even if it wasn't exactly accurate. Tiffany was, on the whole, quite a truthful person, but it seemed to her that there were times when things didn't divide easily into true and false, but instead could be things that people needed to know at the moment and things that they didn't need to know at the moment. Besides, she wasn't sure what she knew at the moment. There was porridge for breakfast. She ate it hurriedly, meaning to get back out into the paddock and see about that sheep. There might be tracks in the grass or something. She looked up, not knowing why. Ratbag had been asleep in front of the oven. Now he was sitting up, alert. Tiffany felt a prickling on the back of her neck and tried to see what the cat was looking at. On the dresser was a row of blue and white jars, which weren't very useful for anything. They'd been left to her mother by an elderly aunt, and she was proud of them because they looked nice but were completely useless. There was little room on the farm for useless things that looked nice, so they were treasured. Ratbag was watching the lid of one of them. It was rising very slowly, and under it was a hint of red hair and two beady staring eyes. It lowered again when Tiffany gave it a long stare. A moment later she heard a faint rattle, and when she looked up, the pot was wobbling back and forth, and there was a little cloud of dust rising along the top of the dresser. Ratbag was looking around in bewilderment. They certainly were very fast. She ran out into the paddock and looked around. The mist was off the grass now, and skylarks were rising on the downs.
"If that sheep doesn't come back this minute," she shouted at the sky, "there will be a reckoning."
The sound bounced off the hills, and then she heard, very faint but close by, the sound of small voices.
"What did the hag say?"
said the first voice.
"She said there'd be a reckoning. Oh, waily, 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 we're in trouble noo."
Tiffany looked around, face red with anger.
"We have a duty,"
she said to the air and the grass. It was something Granny Aching had said once, when Tiffany had been crying about a lamb. She had an old-fashioned way of speaking, and had said,
"We are as gods to the beasts of the field, my jigget. We are the time of their birth and the time of their death. Between times, we are duty."
"We have a duty," Tiffany repeated, more softly. She glared around the field.
"I know you can hear me, whoever you are. If that sheep doesn't come back, there will be trouble."
The larks sang over the sheep folds, making the silence deeper. Tiffany had to do the chores before she had any more time to herself. That meant feeding the chickens and collecting the eggs, and feeling slightly proud of the fact that there were two more than there might otherwise have been. It meant fetching 6 buckets of water from the well and filling the log basket by the stove, but she put those jobs off because she didn't like doing them much. She did quite like churning butter, though. It gave her time to think. "When I'm a witch with a pointy hat and a broomstick," she thought as she pumped the handle, "I'll wave my hand and the butter will come just like that. And any little red-headed devils that even think about taking our beasts will be..." There was a slopping sound behind her, where she'd lined up the 6 buckets to take to the well. One of them was now full of water, which was still sloshing backwards and forwards. She went back to the churning as if nothing had happened, but stopped after a while and went over to the flour bin. She took a small handful of flour and dusted it over the doorstep, and then went back to the churning. A few minutes later, there was another watery sound behind her. When she turned round, there was, yes, another full bucket. And in the flour on the stone doorstep were 2 lines of little footprints, one leading out of the dairy and one coming back.